Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, have you seen yet that WNYC now has an iPhone app? Also works for iPad. It's free. It's really cool. Really easy to listen to the station live and to listen to past segments on demand. Over the weekend, I noticed you can even set an alarm on this app so it starts itself up to play WNYC at whatever time you choose. You might choose weekdays at 10 a.m., just as a random example. So download the free WNYC mobile app from the iTunes App Store. And have you gotten a letter from your your health insurance company announcing that your premiums are being increased? If so, you're hardly alone. 10 insurers in New York State are hiking their rates in the coming months, or so they want to, anywhere from 10 to 20 to, in one case, a reported 56%. A consumer watchdog coalition is saying not so fast. Elizabeth Benjamin is with us, Vice President of Health Initiatives at the think tank and advocacy organization for the poor, the Community Service Society, and she's a co-founder of the Healthcare for All New York campaign. Elizabeth, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. It's nice to be back.
And I know one of the issues here is that they won't release their books to the public or to the state to back up their alleged need for these 10 or 20 or 56% increases. Is that the part that's in court?
It's not quite in court yet. Basically, what's happened is we just recently, last year, passed a law in New York State which requires carriers, actually, it brings the law back. It used to be like this in the 90s, and under the Pataki administration, the carriers were able to reverse it so that before they imposed premium hikes, they had to be approved by the state. We lost that right in around 2000, and after a long, long campaign, we got it restored a year ago. So we won that right, and as a result of that, the government was able to curb premium increases last year by 3%, and this year there's a whole other battery that you just said, another 10 to 56% rate increases that are currently pending before the Cuomo administration, and they're reviewing those rate increases. Now, what the current fight is all about is, because the public has now gotten the right back to have their government, you know, regulate the industry, we're saying, well, hey, wait a second. We should also be able to see what the carriers are basing these crazy rate increases on. A 56% rate increase seems, you know, well above the national rate of inflation of 3% and well above the sort of typical medical trend rate of 8%. So what's going on here? Why would a 56% rate increase really be warranted? Or, for example, in the case of Emblem Health and HIP, what many people know as HIP Plan of New York, it's a big carrier here in New York City, they're asking for a 34% rate increase. And a 34% rate increase. And, you know, we sort of wonder, well, gee, this is kind of odd. Tony Watson, he's sitting on $1 billion, the CEO of HIP. They have $1 billion in surplus. That's not being plowed back into the subscribers and the premiums. And not only that, he makes $7.2 million a year.
Who's the 56%? Everybody's talking about the 1%ers in Occupy Wall Street. Who's the 56%er in the insurance game?
It's got a plan called MVP. It's an upstate plan. But, you know, Aetna's asking, that's a downstate plan, they're asking for a 53.6% rate increase. Oxford's asking for a 32% rate increase. United wants a 34% rate increase. HIP wants a 34% rate increases. So, yeah, when we talk about these 99, you know, all of us are the 99%, and these guys are definitely our 1%ers.
And what are they saying? If they don't want to release their books because they say this is proprietary information that could help their competitors, these other health insurers, what are they saying publicly, or what are they saying to the state insurance commissioner about Why 14%? Why 34%? Why Aetna 53%?
Well, they're claiming that these are, you know, medical costs are out of control. And I guess I would say to them, you know, in response to that, well, that's what you're there for. I mean, we all expect the carriers to be able to go in and drive good bargains with providers. When you talk to providers, providers say, we don't know how it's possible they're asking for these rate increases. They've been cutting us back. And so in order to know who's right, we need to see what they call, there are these things called actuarial memos. We need to understand what the actuarial experts are saying is the basis for these proposed rate increases. Now, the carriers say, well, no, that would be, you know, practically disclosing our competitive advantage to our competitors. And plus those, you know, consumers, it might confuse them to understand, you know, they don't understand terms like morbidity and adverse selection. And we, you know, as consumers, find that, number one, incredibly patronizing. But number two, you know, we all thought the whole point of insurance and the private insurance system is that let the market work. And if the market works, in order for a good market to work, you need perfect information. And in order to have a consumer to have perfect and accurate information, you need to be able to see these actuarial memos.
Although I think a real free market person, and maybe this was Governor Pataki's position when he deregulated this years ago, might be that the consumer doesn't need all that proprietary information for the market to work. If you have all these insurers out there, and you just went down the list, if Oxford is competing with Aetna, which is competing with Excellus, which is competing with this one and that one, then they would presumably compete on price to the extent that they possibly could in the competitive marketplace.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. That was the idea, and we were all willing to, you know, I mean, more or less willing to try it. But before they did those, they deregulated the industry. New York saw 6 to 8% rate increases every year. After they deregulated it, that shot between 2000 and 2008, that shot up to 14%. The price hikes went up, doubled. Median wages, you know, so basically between 2000 and 2009, insurance prices went up 92%.
Why? Why can they act as, in effect, a monopoly if there's actually competition in the marketplace?
Because they're, I don't really know. You know, I mean, something isn't right with this industry. I mean, I know they were incredibly profitable. A lot of carriers were plowing, you know, money into reserves. I mean, HIP managed to rack up $1 billion in reserve. That's an enormous amount of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do know that last year, the first year where we re-regulated, we were able to curb their rate increases down by 3%. And we hope this next year's rate increases are being reviewed right now. We'll get decisions next week. And we're hoping, you know, it'll be even more.
We're talking with Elizabeth Benjamin from the Healthcare for All New York campaign of the Community Service Society, the think tank that focuses on poverty issues. It's an advocacy group as well, talking about 10 insurance companies in New York State planning to hike their rates in the coming months anywhere from 10 to 56%. In 1 year. And I guess we should clarify that these proposed rate hikes are just for individual and small group plans.
Correct.
The larger groups, I guess that's larger employer groups, would not be impacted. But why is that the case? Why are they focusing on the poor individual who has to go out as, you know, as a head of household and shop for health insurance, or the small groups who are already hit hard by the marketplace and health insurance? Why are they getting the brunt of this and not the other people?
Because for the very reason that they are the weakest actors in the market. So they, because you're an individual, because you're a small group, you have no bargaining power. If you're a large group, if you're an IBM and have thousands of covered lives, you can get really good deals. But those good deals are not available to the small group and individual market. In effect, the insurers have us over a barrel.
PricewaterhouseCoopers, which is, you know, the big auditing firm, hardly an anti-business organization, has a report on these actual health costs. Did they, in effect, audit the insurance companies? And if so, for whom?
I think they do it for the industry and for, you know, the financial industry and the insurance industry. And the way they look at that is they interview businesses, they interview insurers, they interview, you know, various, you know, folks to figure out what the numbers really should be.
And what'd they find? Do you have it?
Yeah. They found that actual medical cost trends in 2010 and 2011 were about 7.5 or 8%. And they're estimating for this coming year, the year that all these, you know, the 10 to 56% rate increases are asked for, requested, to be around no more than 8.5% for 2012. So, you know, the idea that some of these plans are asking double-digit premium increases based on, we think, medical trend. I mean, that's what they always claim is the source. But we don't know, because we don't have the actuarial value, you know, memos. It's just sort of, it's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
Listeners, you want to get in on this? 212-433-WNYC or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What you got?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted speak up in defense of doctors, because my father is one, and he's had to take out his third loan against his home mortgage this year to keep his office going and pay his secretaries.
Oh.
And the health insurance companies have been reimbursing them less and less every year and taking longer and longer to do it. And most of his friends have actually retired and gone out of business because they can't afford to keep up their private practices. And it's really not fair. And I think if you want to know where the money is going, you have to look into the salaries that most of these health insurance companies pay their executives, because they're making a lot more than the doctors are.
Thank you very much.
Actually, we did just that.
And?
Well, for example, Tony Watson makes $7.2 million. That's the head of HIP, a big, you know, downstate plan. The chief executive officer of Ronald A. Williams of Aetna, he earned $20 million in 2010 after taking home $18 million in 2008 and 2009. Let's go down the thing. Oxford, the head of Oxford and United is actually the same person. He made $10 million $10 million in 2010. So, you know, it's pretty gross what's going on out there. I mean, the thing that I wanted to say about HIP is that's actually, you know, still a not-for-profit plan, and Mr. Watson's making a good $7 million.
Yeah. Although, does that put our eye on the wrong ball? I mean, it may be grotesque that the heads of these insurance companies are making so much money at the CEO level, but that doesn't address, you know, the questions of the larger economy and how much is in there, because the larger economy for healthcare is just so much bigger than that, billions and billions of dollars. So we can get angry at somebody making $7 million a year as a CEO, but that doesn't really answer the question, does it?
I think that's right. I think it's part of the problem. I mean, I think what's sort of kind of jaw drop. I think these salaries are jaw dropping, and I think, you know, it's why the public is so upset with the rate increases. But to me, what is really jaw dropping is the amount of surpluses, the amount of, you know, revenues that are being booked by these companies. The fact that these companies are really skating along on, you know, the least medical loss, what the industry calls medical loss ratios. In other words, they're spending the least amount possible on medical claims and the most possible on administration. And that's when people start getting upset about the salaries, and people do connect these dots. And I don't think it's completely unfair for them to do that, but I think, you know, really we have to look at the entire administrative package. I think this is also related to this sort of larger conversation about federal health reform, and right now we're trying to get an exchange or a marketplace bill passed, and, you know, the New York State Senate is refusing to, you know, enact the deal that they agreed upon. And so, you know, we're not able to really implement the Federal Affordable Care Act, the new health reform, so that we can get all of these sort of issues kind of looked at more carefully come 2014.
Elizabeth Benjamin with the Healthcare for All New York campaign, as we talk about 10 insurance companies in New York State asking for rate increases of minimum of 10, maximum of 56% for this year. James in Queens, by the way, coming up in 5 minutes, your insomnia and your work. And I can see the heads nodding. The people who at, you know, 11:30 in the morning are starting to nod. Suddenly they just woke up. And they go, oh, yeah, that's me. That's like so many people. So we'll talk about your insomnia and your work coming up. But James in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi.
I recently found out that, or a while ago, that the organization that determines supposedly they survey neighborhoods and medical providers. This organization is actually owned by, I believe, the major hospital organization that owns insurance companies.
Well, let's try to unpack that. Elizabeth, there is a decision coming next week, did you say, on whether these rate increase requests will be approved? And does that come from the state insurance commissioner, who's an appointee of the governor? Does that come from the legislature? Who actually makes this final decision?
It's the superintendent of the new Department of Financial Services. Remember, they emerged banking and insurance, and his name is Benjamin Lawsky, and he's the Governor Cuomo's appointee.
L-A-W-S-K-Y, Lawsky?
Correct. Lawsky.
Uh-huh. Does he have an email address? Well, people, I don't know, should people contact him? Is he subject to that kind of public influence?
Yeah, I think he is. I think the way to get involved in opposing these rate increases is to go on to the Department of Financial Services website. There's a section called Prior Approval. It's sort of not the clearest name, but it's the way you contest your rate hikes. You can also call my organization. We have a consumer assistance program that's happy to help individuals file complaints about proposed rate increases. All the public is now notified of these proposed rate increases, and you can object to them, and we can help you object to your rate increase if you want some help with that. And our number is 800-614-5400.
800-614-5400.
Actually, I believe it's 888. I apologize.
Sorry, 888.
Yeah.
Yep, some other business is going to get those calls now. 888-614-5400. That's for the Community Service Assignment?
Uh-huh, the Community Health Advocates.
And I don't know, maybe Robert in Brooklyn is one of those people who might call up for help disputing his insurance hike. Hi, Robert. You're on WNYC.
Oh, hello. Good morning. Thank you. I'm with Empire Blue Cross. I have an individual policy. I've had it for many years. My insurance premiums were going up 20% a year. Altogether, I'd say about 70% in the last 4 years, up until last year, where there was a slight drop. And the thing is this, I haven't been sick, thank God. I don't have any medical conditions. I haven't seen a doctor since 1979. And, you know, for my premiums to go up 20% a year, and also, Ms. Benjamin, may I also say, thank you for mentioning that what's going on with the New York State Senate, that it's the Republican leadership, the majority leader, Dean Skelos, and some other Republican senators that are blocking President Obama's affordable health insurance plan, specifically with regard to the nonprofit private health insurance exchanges. And this is just done in order to stop Obama's plan. This is a political maneuver.
Robert, thank you. In fact, do you think that these health insurance increases or proposed increases have anything to do with the, as far as the insurance companies themselves are concerned, with the pending changes to the system under the Obamacare Act, the Obama health reform?
Absolutely not. I mean, every single actuary that's looked at the quote-unquote early deliverables under the Affordable Care health reform says that no more than 1% to 2% of your premium increase should be related to actually some really great things, like the fact that they can no longer cap the amount of benefits you get each year or give you a lifetime cap. And so there's a bunch of great, you know, the fact that you can now get a preventive service and not have to charge a copay. All of those are pretty cheap. They should only cost 1%. The real issue is that these carriers, while they can get it, it seems to be what they've decided to do is try to, raise the rates as much as they possibly can, because they know once they have to deal with these exchanges where the marketplace is going to be able to have, you know, band all the consumers, like the individual consumers and the small businesses together, and be able to drive harder bargains, that's a terrifying thing for them.
Right.
And that's the reason why we do need the New York State Senate and Governor Cuomo himself to step up and bring the Senate, you know, to the table to pass this nonprofit exchange marketplace bill that we're working so hard on trying to get enacted, so that we can really implement the Affordable Care Act.
We'll see what happens with that. We'll see what happens next week with the Superintendent of Financial Services, Benjamin Lawsky, and how he acts on these insurance company rate hike requests. In fact, attention in the producer suites. Let's invite Mr. Losky on the show for the coming days. Maybe he'll even come. So we will at least offer an invitation, and hopefully he'll come on the air and talk about this decision-making process. We'll also see if they get if somebody gets a court order to force the insurance companies to release their books on which these rate increase requests are based. They currently do not have to. And we thank Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society and co-founder of the Healthcare for All New York campaign. Thank you so much. You want to give us that phone number again for people to get help disputing the rate increases?
Sure. It's 888-614-5400.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, your insomnia and your work. Stay with us.